I'm Tommy Beardmore.
I'm Adam DiCarlo.
And welcome to Before the Break, a podcast for actors
by actors,
brought to you by Working Actor Pro.
Let's do this again. Okay, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Before the Break. Tommy, this week I'm so excited for you to meet our guest. He's an old friend of mine. We met here in New York City at Circle in the Square Theater School. He later moved to LA and has gone on to have recurring roles on Good Trouble, Station 19, and Jane the Virgin. He's also appeared on such shows as SWAT, Teachers, Scandal, New Girl, and Ballers, as well as the Netflix original film Bright opposite Will Smith. Please welcome to the show, Joe Picciura.
Hello.
Joe.
Hi. What's up?
Joe.
It's funny like hearing all that like read. It sounds like I've had a hell of a career, and it certainly doesn't feel that way. It's
everybody like, wow. Says that when you sink into the general day-to-day, it's like any of your credits, your bio erases, and the question is always like, what have you really done here? You know, until you get interviewed in a podcast and reminded of
now I've made it. Yes, exactly. Now I can feel good.
So nice.
So
to
many
have
people
you on
are like,
show.
Oh, wow, I have done some cool stuff. God, I don't ever even think about it.
I'm not a piece of shit.
Well, I certainly am a piece of shit, but
good.
It's always the new girl thing. Like people that I haven't seen for a while, or people like just randomly, like every few weeks, are like, oh my God, you're on New Girl. I'm like, yeah, it was 2016. I think it was barely even remember it, but yeah, that's right. I was on that.
Right.
Like, for like 2 hours.
Yeah. So just so you know, if you do a co-star on, say, one of those network TV shows, you're going to get texts for about 10 years of people saying, I just saw you. Congrats. And it's like it happened like before two presidents before us.
That's right. And it's especially embarrassing because I think in the scene, it was a bit before things changed in culture, and I was just getting straight up sexually harassed. It's like hilarious at the time. I still think it's funny, but I don't think that would be a scene anymore, which is
right. Things have changed, like even just in 10 years since we've begun our trip, and we're talking to the three of us have probably been in the business 10 to 12, 15 years, whatever. And hasn't
which
it
also changed? Sounds insane to think
well,
about.
Well, it does, but isn't it interesting though that things completely have changed from the first auditions you've had, the first shows that you were doing? You know, the content has completely changed so quickly.
The first movie I ever did was with Adam here, and we were taking the old Staten Island ferry out every night for night shoots for it was a fun experience. It was like this student horror film. Isn't it on something now? Isn't it on like Amazon or something?
Dude, I don't know that
We're not going to say the name or anything, but it did get finished. I do know that.
I'd like to focus just on student stuff for the first 45 minutes, if that's okay.
Yes, let's talk about what it's like to do a low-budget student film.
Oh, Joe, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us for an hour. I know we get to talk to actors about their life, their progress, their mark, I guess, on the art and on life, and I can't wait to get to hear kind of your path. You're a Massachusetts boy, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, Long Meadow, Massachusetts.
Yep. Where? What town?
Long Meadow. It's like a suburb of Springfield, a little known city about an hour and a half west of
Boston. And you went to school there as well.
I went to Northeastern for undergrad. I didn't start acting or doing theater until my senior year. I was a football player, and our football program got cut.
And, you guys were that bad.
Yeah, we were, but also like we could talk for an hour about that because that was not our fault. It was the president of the university and the athletic director promised everybody, like even like young freshmen when I was a senior, they were going to play for 4 years. Program wasn't going anywhere. Yada yada yada. Like made all these promises to us, and then like the old rug right out from other people and ended their careers for a lot of people.
That
I was much of a football player, but I mean I did love playing. You know,
so you going into the theater department, Was that something that was kind of in the corner of your mind, or was it a random happenstance?
I mean, I've always been a pretty open and, like, you know, out there person. But I certainly didn't ever know what I wanted to do with my life. Even at that point, I wanted to be a professional wrestler, and I was starting, I bought a moped so I could drive 45 minutes north of Boston to learn how to be a wrestler. And I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I also want to be like The Rock and be like the best like guy in the mic. So I was like, I'm gonna start taking acting classes. And then, my body had just been through so much from playing football for 15 years and doing that. And then I was like, you know, this acting is like a lot more fun than getting hit in the head every day. And I'm okay at it. So let me just put my efforts here instead.
Okay. And there's only so much you can do in college. I mean, in that year, did you make some headway and progress and connections? How did that go?
Yeah. Yeah. I booked a role in the spring production of The Shape of Things. I was Philip, and the director was this awesome guy named, am I going in now? Director was a guy named Del Lewis, who was incredible, great mentor to me, taught me so much. And when we wrapped, he was like, listen, if you could do this, if you wanted to for a living, but you need so much more training. Like, everyone in this program has been doing it for their whole life. Plus 4 years. Like, you gotta go somewhere. He's like, I went to Circle in the Square, and I didn't know anything about conservatories, where I would ever go. And he's, so that's the only one I sent an application to. And I was like, okay. And I mean, at the time I had no idea like the prestige and like what it was, what it meant to go to Circle in the Square. So like, even when I was preparing for like my audition, I was like, all right, whatever. Fuck it. You know, like I'm in this old ass stinky building and going down to the basement, doing an audition for a bunch of old people, like whatever.
Sub basement. And then the sub basement.
Yeah. And I even remember that day. It was, took the bus from Boston, got there like an hour early, sitting in the lobby. And then I went down to, I think we were in, Elizabeth's room or speech room was the waiting room for the audition. And then went in and I did a Streetcar Named Desire. I did a Stanley speech.
Of course you did Stanley.
Again, not knowing the, you know, prestige, what it meant to do Tennessee Williams. Like, I was such a green novice that I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll do it. I'll be fine. And I guess I did good. I'm Ted Mann. Like, I mean, anyone's listening should look up his career. He's incredible. And like, he was very old at the time, but he was, I say Stanley in you. And I was like, sick. He's like, you remind me of Marlon. I was like, what? I don't really know who that is. Oh, he was in The Godfather, right? Like, okay, cool. Thanks, man. And then I left, and then I got it. Ended up going to school.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, coming out of college and going right into it, into a big city and all that, it's probably,
I was in Boston. I mean, Boston it's a city. It's not like New York, but it wasn't like, I've been going to New York my whole life.
Let's be honest though. Like, talent, I've done movies in Boston. The talent is, it's a completely different world, completely different room, completely different teachers, completely different environment. So did you have those feelings of, maybe that you were somewhat inadequate compared to some of these people who have been doing it since they were 12?
That's not the way I think, you know? Like, I never go into a situation with that mindset. Like, even at Northeastern, like, I walked on the football team. Like, so, like, a lot of all these kids were like amazing athletes and had full scholarships. And I was like, I can hang out with these guys. I can fucking knock them out. And it really wasn't that different. Like, going to Circle, like, I was immensely impressed by everybody. Like, you know, I'm not saying it in a cocky way. Like, I was humble. Like, I'm, and still am. Like, just like seeing, like, even I remember Cleo, this 18-year-old Canadian girl doing a scene, was just like the most incredible acting I'd ever seen in my life, because I haven't seen a lot of acting. But I was just like, these people are amazing, and I appreciated how different they were from me, and like the amazing, like, you know, their experiences were nothing like mine. And I just kind of came in, Adam can probably attest to this better than I can, but like with like a very open mind. And I was just like, I want to learn from all of you. I did know that I was like a novice. I knew that I was green and a rookie, but I was like, that's okay. Everyone starts somewhere, and I'm going to take everything I can from these people to, you know, figure it out. And which I think is kind of the best attitude you can have going into school. Like, if you don't think you know anything, that's when you can learn.
Joe was very, maybe open's the wrong word, but very like, I'm new to this, but you can throw whatever you want at me. I'm down to do it. Let's go.
Like, yeah, and that's actually,
no, like, yeah. Oh, I'm not good enough for an ad. Like, yeah, you very much have an attitude of just throw it at me and let's do it.
Yeah, and you're right, and that's a great point you made, because open is the wrong word, because emotionally, like, yeah, it's very closed off. You know, like, yeah, I had this football player mask on my whole life and hanging out in locker rooms. Like, being emotionally available was not my thing. But, like, yes, the biggest thing from Circle I learned was breaking down those walls and, like, tearing at those scabs and, like, being able to use my experience to act. Yeah, so thank you. That's a good one.
You know, Joe, that attitude has been like there was this really great comic show. What was that show with the guy who lives on the couch and he's a comedian and he goes to New York, Crashing. And he's out in Jersey and he's at a comedy show. And in the green room of that comedy show is a little note in the green room behind the stage. And it says, you'll think of something. And it's framed and it's like a little doily. And what it is it's basically saying, go out there and fucking do it. You'll figure it out. And I love that you had that going in. It was just like, hey, like, I'm just here and I'm open. I'm open to learn. I'm open to watch. You know, there was no like fear there. And it's that kind of attitude that will not only get you through these first moments, I think, where you were, but through your life, because there are things that we find ourselves in a room with somebody huge we've never been with, or in a scene that is so big we've never done anything like this before. And you just have to have this automatic blind, not confidence, but like promise that it's all going to be okay. I'm going to figure this out. And I do think that that's a rare thing. I think that you might have 100 actors out there, but there's only a certain percentage of those actors that has that total fearlessness and openness at the same time. Would you agree to that?
I don't like to speak for other people's experience, so I don't know if other people feel that way. But I know for me, it's the only way I've ever really known how to be. And you're right, it's been invaluable in countless situations now. Like, even something unrelated to acting, like during the pandemic, right? Life had changed so much, and I was just like, well, this sucks, but I'm gonna go and find out how to make the best of it, you know? Like, bringing it back to Northeastern, I decided I was going to get my master's in game design because I'm a big nerd and I love video games. So I was like, well, if I'm not going to be acting for a little while, I'm going to learn how to make video games. So that's what I did during the pandemic. So same type of thing.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah.
So can you talk to us about New York, Circle in the Square, making those friends and getting out there in those first few auditions, the reps and all that stuff? What was it like?
Well, I didn't really start auditioning seriously until I moved to LA, which I did relatively quickly. Like right after we finished shooting the movie we were talking
about. Yeah, that was like right. Oh, no. Oh my God, I remember when that was. You and I did Wolf of Wall Street background work.
That's
and
right.
They wanted you for this amount of days, and you were like, I'm not available that amount of days because I'm moving to LA in like a week and a half.
Yeah, that's right. And dude, that was
that would have been like October after you would have graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. And dude, like, I owe you a lot because you were the one who kind of pushed me to do that. I've never done on a real set or, you know, anything. That was such a cool experience. Like, and I remember when we were at the house and Margot Robbie wasn't like famous yet. And I was just standing there and she was walking in, and I was just like, oh my God, that is the hottest girl I have ever seen in my entire life. I don't think I will ever see a hotter girl. And now, yeah, like 12 years later, I think that's held up pretty strong.
She was, that was like her real huge, huge break.
Yeah. Yeah.
She audiences really saw her for the first time.
Yeah.
And I do remember being on set and kind of thinking, oh, I think this is like the female lead of the film. And everyone was kind of like looking around, like, I don't think she's done this this often. Cause there was something that she just, we must have done it. We were down.
Oh, remember that was when Jonah was jerking off. Remember he had that fake like wiener and he was jerking off.
We must have done this thing with her like a million times. And everyone was just like, why are we still, this is like take, like, how has she not hit this mark yet? Or whatever it was. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this girl seems so green. And then, you know, the movie came out and she became this huge superstar. And she's a fucking awesome, actor.
I can say.
Way back then, being on like set with her and her first big thing, it was just so funny that we were all like.
I also didn't know how that was, so I didn't judge her. I was grateful. That she made a mistake so many times that I got to keep staying in the same room as her. So I was like, oh, this is, yep, take your time, whatever you need to do. And actually, oh my God, now I'm just thinking, I obviously haven't thought about this for a long time, but one of the scenes I was up on the balcony and John Bernthal was in it. And that was before he'd really done a lot. And so like between takes, me and him were just talking about Stanislavski and doing Chekhov because he went to some conservatory in No, I think he went to the Moscow Art Theater. I think that's where he went to school.
Wow.
And me and Adam just finished doing, Siegel for like 6 months. And so me and him were just talking about Chekhov for like hours. And I was like, oh man, this is a cool guy. And now he's a huge star too, which is cool. And then more so, I got paid union rate for 3 days, the only 3 days I was there. And so I got eligible to join the union right away. So I never had to like...
Got your SAG card from that, right?
I got my SAG card from that, so I just immediately signed up and in hindsight, I realized how lucky I was because people struggle for years and years to get that.
Really,
take the getting their SAG card route via background stuff, it's such a crapshoot. And I was on set with a bunch of those people who had been doing it for years and years and years. And they were like, I'm one waiver away, or I'm two waivers away, or I'm still waiting on my first day. And it's this is crazy. But I do remember, Joe, they wanted you for a certain amount of days and you had those SAG days. And then you were like, I'm leaving on this day. They want me past that. Well, I might as well just like rack up some money. And then I have my SAG card and I'm out and I'm going to LA. And so what for you was a huge deciding factor in, you know, having moved to New York City, spent 2 years in a conservatory and then making a move to the other side of the country to do acting in LA?
That's a good question. There's several reasons. I don't know if you, I don't want to get into it, but you remember some traumatic stuff kind of went down at that time or a little before that with me and a particular girl that I was seeing. If you recall, you know what I'm talking about? And it's very sensitive and I don't mean to make light of it because it was some of the hardest times obviously of hers, but like it was a very hard time for me as well. And there was just a lot of baggage in New York, especially living in the same apartment where so much stuff had happened. And while I loved it there and I still love it there, and I mean, I've gone back every year several times if I can, I just needed to go. I was just like, there's just too much stuff that I can't keep ruminating over. And like, I wasn't able to process it and move on with, you know, doing other things. And I thought, you know, the only way I could do that more easily was just totally, you know, traumatize myself more by moving out to a place where I didn't know anybody and living in a shed. And, you know, that was my therapeutic choice.
Yeah, I think they call that a geographic. I get it. So how was getting into LA and settling in and all that? I mean, you don't know anybody. You just got your card. You probably haven't had many credits at all because you just got it from
zero.
Extra. Yeah. Right. Zero credits. So what was that like getting repped and how long did it take and all that good stuff?
Okay. I had these lovely British people, and I'm still friends with them, who the lady Barbara had worked with my uncle in Las Vegas at a hair salon. And she had an awesome guest house in her backyard. It was on South Riverside near like Large Point Village. And she let me stay there for $600 a month. And it was awesome. It was like a very amazing thing for me. And then I didn't know where I was going to work. I didn't know anything about the place. I didn't know what like a good place to work was. And I just remember my sister was like, all right, the only place you can't work is the Chateau Marmont, because you have to be able to, like, you know, if you ever make it, like, just show up there and not be like one of the guys who worked there. And I was like, oh, okay. So first thing I did is I think I drove my moped to the Chateau Marmont. And I
who in your fucking there. Moped?
Yeah. Her name was Steph. She was a beast. Rode her over to Sunset, West Hollywood, and I got a job at Bar Marmont, and then I worked there for a very long time. It's some of the best memories of my life working at that place. But then, yeah, I struggled like for about a year. I didn't have a rep. And then I was just going out and like self-submit stuff, like just to try to get some stuff under my belt. Did a few things like with that. And then I met this, she was like a British rep or something, and she was, you know, covering LA as well. And so I signed with her, and it didn't, she had like me like zero auditions. I was like, yeah, I'm going to look elsewhere. So I hired this publicist lady who was this crazy, like old cat lady. And she would just make a mass email send out to agencies and managers. And I think I paid her like $200, and I ended up having a ton of interviews from it. And one of them, it's probably this whole process, I guess, was maybe 2 years after I moved there. Yeah, I met my reps who I was with for 7 or 8 years through there. And they actually repped a lot of, or one circle person who we had a meeting of, Patrick Fischler. Remember him, Adam? Awesome actor. He came in for a seminar once. You want to pull him up?
What's his name?
Patrick Fischler. You'll know if you see him.
So
anyway, yeah.
What year did you get? First of all, what year did you get to LA?
It was like December of 2013. So I'd say 14 was my first year, and I'd say by 6.
Got it. And your first right? first.
No, I guess 15. 15 is when I was with these people. 15 is when I found.
And then you started to hit some like 4 or 5 TV shows in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it took a while to get the first one, but then I did. It was just like a one-day guest star thing, and I think that was the OJ one. That was really cool. And then, yeah, I just started like becoming more comfortable, getting used to the process of driving around town all day. I mean, I would never say a bad thing about these reps. Like, they have so many opportunities. Like, I am so grateful for them. We've recently parted ways like about a year ago. It was just time.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. Like I just was like, all my friends that were at the Chateau were like actors as well. Like, obviously everyone is. And they're like, dude, how do you have so many auditions? I was just like, I don't know. It's again, like same thing of Circle. Like I was just, going to everything without knowing anything. So I'm just like, isn't this just the way it is? I don't know. And
Joe,
yeah.
To go with that, I think when you don't hold something as the end all be all so precious, it gives you a certain levity, right?
So energy.
You're
yeah.
going in. I don't want to say like green or naive, because you've been doing this for a little while. But when you're not going into a room consumed by the fear,
pressure, and negative,
and this is what this office is, and this is what they cast, and all that we put ourselves.
For me, at least, that has never been helpful. So I, you know, have it in any part of my life. So I didn't bring it into this part of my life. I was like, well, why do I want to make things scary? Like I don't know. Like they're just people, and right, like casting directors and directors and other actors, like. People can 100% pick up on that. Like, you know, if you're just hanging out with someone in a bar who's like really trying to impress you, you're like, all right, okay, let's just take it easy. I'm chilling right now. And you stop. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember going home to California like during Christmases, and I saw you once or twice. And I was like, dude, how's LA? How's it going? And you were like, I am so lonely here, and I have this rep, and nothing is happening, and I don't really know what the fuck to do, and I think I would rather have anybody else and try, you know, to go somewhere than this train just literally isn't moving. So I think I'm going to have the conversation, and I just, nothing is happening whatsoever. And I just feel like I'm here and it's awful. And then I want to say, like, one of the next times I talked to you, you were like, got rid of that person, got new reps. We're all on the same page and now we're cooking. But it was quite a while for you of just like,
yeah, about 2 years, I'd say 2 years, which is a long time when you're not doing anything. Like, again, like you said, like far away from home, don't know anybody, reestablishing your life. And like, what the fuck am I doing here if I'm not doing what I came out here to do? Which is a question a lot of actors still to this day ask themselves.
But as a self-proclaimed gym rat, somebody, by the way, you're listening to our interview while Joe is in the bathroom of a gym. You know, with your mindset, your persistence, your structure that you have every day, you know, we say like, it's very hard to have a structure in a structureless world, like acting. Those 2 years and those pockets that you're, you know, everybody will have in their careers, what did you do to kind of stay on? Did you have a structure? Did you just keep kind of every day you were just going? Did you get down? Did you flirt with the idea of stopping this thing? What was the process there?
Totally. Absolutely flirted with that. I've always, like Adam said, like even when I was in school, I've always had like the discipline to do this gym. Because like for me, going to the gym is more than just trying to look good. Like I don't really care if anyone thinks I look good. I feel good when I do it. It's like my therapy. So, like, it's always been very important to me. So, structure-wise and discipline-wise, like, I don't do it for aesthetics. I do it because I honestly love it, and it honestly gives me purpose. Like, so I think my structure has just gotten better and better and better as I get older. Like, I've refined it to a place where, like, I can be very efficient with what I know I need to check off the box during a day to feel accomplished, even if I do nothing. So, like, even this past summer where I've been spending a lot of time at home, like I've never once felt bored, depressed, unfulfilled. Like just like, again, and I think the pandemic was really good for that because it helped show cracks that I'd had in my, you know, psyche and my structure, because I was, I mean, I'd like everyone like shell shocked and depressed and everything. And like I got out of shape. I wasn't working out. The gym was closed. Like, and it made me like do some hard reflecting. Hello?
Someone's knocking on the door at the bathroom.
Sorry. Yeah.
Just do a really loud like noise. Or, yeah, do a movement. There you go. See? Now he'll snap.
Did a lot of reflecting, and yeah, like I feel like I'm stronger and in a better place mentally and physically for it. So yeah, you're 100% right. I definitely, like, I'm human as well, you know, like I got down, I get, you know, all the normal stuff, but I just know now, like, what I need to do to get out of it. And I don't, like, let myself linger in that, that place of defeat or, like, despair. Yeah. If I feel it happening, like, I know exactly what I have to do to stop.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And, you know, it's really tough at the beginning. We don't really know how to get out of certain things. Then when you're in it so many times, you figure out how to get out of it. But to have something like, say, the gym – everybody needs like this bit of string that keeps them attached to the ground when things go crazy and wrong, and, because that's just what they do in our lives. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having something like that has probably helped so much just in the downtimes alone to keep your mind occupied and all that stuff that it takes a couple of years to kind of figure out. Oh, I have to like pretend that I have nothing to do by just doing other things. Then I don't have to think about not doing things. And not only that, but your mind and your body also, that kind of, you know, that attention is huge, because when we walk into a room, you're not just like walking in with the scene, you're walking into the room, how your morning went and how you're feeling and who you are that week. And I don't mean like identity. I mean like what you're going through that week. You know, you can't just turn everything off. And on the other side, when you're on
and think about it, if you do turn it off, you're a crazy person and your performance is going to be fake as shit.
Yeah, you'll have all that contained dis-ease. that
no one wants to watch someone act like that. That's nice.
So you got to take care of your machine, you know, and like anything, like a car. So, take me through kind of as things are picking up with this TV stuff. You were doing a couple I think you were doing some indie movies, but I see mostly TV on your resume. Were you getting into indies and all that too?
That was just very early on. Like I said, I was doing some self-submit stuff. I did a few things. Once I was with the new agent, I just stopped doing that and was just like, whatever they sent me on it, I was like, yes. I never said no. That's another thing. Like, I think, I can't speak for other people, but I get the impression a lot of people make excuses and say no for certain reasons or others. And I just never have. Like, every time I got an email saying, you're called out to be here at this time, I don't think I've ever once said no. Like, I put everything else secondary to that. I got to be there and I got to do it. I'm going to do it.
And it's like, you moved across the country and you had two slow years. Like, you know, we always talk about on this show, right now you are where you only wish you could have been 5 years prior. So it's everything to do this. Why the fuck would I, you know, give up on an audition? That's literally why I live here.
Right. It's banana land. Dude, I got upset yesterday or day before, and I've been doing this show for a while. This is like my third or fourth episode, fifth or something. And this was the first episode of the season, first day of shooting of the season. And I had a chair on set, you know, like, it's like, that's sick because I'm going to be, you know, back a few more times or whatever. So it's just like, it's pretty cool. Like, you know, you'd find little things like that where you step back and like, man, yeah, when I was 25, I'd been like, man, that's pretty rad.
That's all you wanted.
You're talking about good trouble, yeah?
Yes. And I can't talk too much about that because, like, I don't want to spoil anything for people, It's ongoing.
So. And so how were you feeling when, you know, you had moved across country? You had a kind of a slow, rough beginning to this whole process. And then 2016 and 17, you just start booking left, right, and center. Were you just like, I like just went to theater school and now I live in LA and I'm like on TV.
Hanging out with Will Smith.
Were you just like, holy fuck, like I stuck with it and did it and like, How was that when you finally just started going?
Yeah. Again, maybe this is another thing that's just my mindset. I never felt like I was exceedingly successful. You know, like I never felt like I was like killing it. I was like, oh, sweet. And like, every time something would finish, I'd be like, square one. Like, I haven't done shit like until people are calling me asking me to be in roles. Like, so like as cool as all that was, like I never got like felt cocky. I never felt like, oh, this is it. Like, it's cruise control now. Like it's always just like sick. Okay, cool. Now let's get to work on the next one, whatever that is. It was awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was extremely grateful. Like brightest, coolest. Like that was like almost 3 months of shooting. I know. I'm not in the movie that much, like time wise, but like, yeah, it was like we like all lifted together and we trained together at this really cool place in Echo Park, and we all became friends.
Yeah, can you tell us about that the audition process and how that all came about? And you know,
sure. I think the first audition was like before Christmas when I was in Santa Monica, and I drove there. Whenever you see drive to auditions, that's something I miss horribly, and hope this self-tape Zoom prep ends, because I really like the process of meeting people. And like, because I'll be honest, like I don't think I'm the best actor in the world, like by a long shot. I'd love to be someday. I know I'm not, but I do know I'm really good in room. Like I'm really good, like with like talking to people. And
you are
not having that is granted, it hasn't hurt me yet because these good trouble people who are amazing like keep having me come back to work. But
Joe, you have a very positively and infectious kind of aura about you that when you come into a room and you're just being yourself, it's not an act the way you are, you know, when you're around people. And you leave and you kind of go, that's a really a very positive person. I feel at ease. I feel cool. Like that was just a really great, that's just how your energy is. So I can imagine that process of going in person and meeting the casting directors and associates and directors and all that stuff is something that you loved.
I do. Yeah. And I think I owe a lot of my bookings to that, you know, like how many, there's 10,000 people that look like me in Los Angeles. So I'm like, you know, whatever, like, or can read, you know, their pipelines or whatever they have to do. Like anyone can do that. So yeah, you're right. That's a,
yeah. It's not just the read, you know, it's that person they're going to bring into their home, into their family for however long. And we need to know who they are. And we only get like the slate and maybe a goodbye. But if you're there and you're really there, you can kind of showcase a little bit of who you are, at least to them that you're not fucking crazy person. Something. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. No, so continue. You were talking about the process, the audition process of getting this. Yeah.
It was just a normal audition. It was like two lines or something. So I never thought it was anything special. I was like, okay, cool. Maybe I would work on this movie for a day. Like that'd be sweet. And then the callback was with the director in downtown LA. It was like a few weeks later. And I was like, sick. Oh, hey, that's another thing I want to make sure I make a point of saying for all the people that are listening and want to be actors. Another very important advice. Do not look at your phone for callbacks or think you're going to get one ever. Like, I never do. As soon as I'm done with my first audition, I'm just like, whatever. It's over. Like, it's just like kill it then. Right. Because when I first started, like, I was like, oh my God, are they going to call back? Did I do good? Blah, blah, blah. And you drive yourself bananas. So it's just like, no. Just, it's over. Yeah. It's over. Get your best and it's fucking over. Like, go work out, go do something else. It's over. Exactly. So that's important. Remember that, kids.
Thanks, Uncle Joe.
Don't call me that. That's weird. And then so
you go and meet David Ayer.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. And we just kind of like this, just shot the shit. And he was like, yeah, so you've done a bunch of like little things. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, just trying to like build the house, you know, like I'm trying to like keep booking stuff, like little tiny bricks, build a little foundation so people know they can trust me and things like that. And really looking forward to like more opportunities where I can, you know, do my thing. And he was like, it was just a cool conversation. He was like, yeah, I totally get it. And then I left and then I got it. And I was like, and then I saw like, all right, here are the dates we need to hold before. And then it was like, yeah, like 2.5 months, and I was like, what? That's all right. It ended up that my character was like in the beginning of the movie, like one of four like bad guys, like the first antagonists. So like I was just in a bunch of scenes, like even if I wasn't saying anything, I was just being a jerk, and I was like, oh, sick, okay. I can be a bully. But the first day on set, I always remember, it was so cool. It was a scene that I just needed to go get a haircut or something, and they were shooting like in LA, in the tough part of town, and I wasn't even in the scene, and the director was like, hey man, all right, you're gonna put your full uniform on and you're gonna put this real bulletproof vest on, and it was 99 degrees out, and he's like, you're just gonna stand hanging out with me all day. I was like, all right. And so like, again, I think he knew that I think we talked about my football background and like me just being like a blue collar kind of dude.
He's like, you want to be in the shit, kid? Let's do this.
Yeah. he's very much that kind of guy, which again is a rare thing these days. I don't even know if you can get away with that these days. And I mean, someone would complain about it or tweet about it. And I was just like, fuck
the SAG rep's like, are you working today? Honestly, you're going to have to talk to Dave. I don't even know why I'm here. I was getting a haircut.
Honestly, you know me, and I was just like, fuck yeah, dude, like, this is awesome. I was just hanging out. It was the first time I'd ever seen Will, and I was like, dude, I'm just watching Will Smith act and wearing a fucking 50-pound vest. This is the greatest day of my life. Yeah, it was cool. Sweat my ass off. I've done football camps in New England in August when it's like 100% humidity and 95, like this was nothing, like dry LA heat. I was like,
I know, they had no idea.
I could live here.
They have no idea what July in Ohio is like.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Thousands of bugs in your face.
Right.
Working actors deserve affordable and convenient coaching. That's why we created Book It, America's fastest growing one-on-one remote acting coach service, all from your device. We're not just coaches, we're working actors too. From Broadway and voiceover animation to TV, film, and commercial, real actor coaching from real actors. Catered especially to you and your path. Anytime, anywhere. We're here to train you, to guide you, to prepare you, to book it. For more information, visit workingactorpro.com/book it.
So, Joe, how many years, right now we're at 2022, how many years have we been in L.A.? Seven?
No, more than that. 2013. I guess, say four.
Oh, 13. Yeah,
no. You know what? I'm wrong. It was because we graduated 2012. So it was the end of 2012 when I moved out to L.A.
Okay, so literally, so like 10. So can I hear what you have seen and your experience actors in LA who have done it kind of wrong, whether that's in the room or on their own terms, their social, how they audition, how they treat their agents, what they do in scenes, what they do in workshops, anything that has stood out before I say like what are the right things that you kind of set yourself on? What were the kind of wrong things that you've seen that didn't get reaction?
I think, like, I don't need to talk much more about my mindset. I think I've kind of laid it out pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, I think there's not much more I can add to what, like, the way I think about things. So, like, that's me. But you guys, whatever, like, y'all understand the way I think about shit. Oh, let me do something real quick.
What are you doing? You pooping?
Yeah.
Oh, Joe's got to get a little dip. What is that, wintergreen?
It is wintergreen, yeah.
Ah! I fucking knew it.
Still, yeah. How about you pegged me for a dipper? How'd you guess? It was the fact that I'm a meathead.
Because when I was in eighth grade, I had my five boys over, and we had a pack of Camel Lights and tin of wintergreen chew.
Grizzly?
And Grizzly. No. What was the other one? Not Copenhagen. Skull. And I puked. And so whenever I smell,
everyone does. Isn't it so funny that I know I puked the first time, and I'm like, oh, cool. I've been doing this for 20 years now. What is wrong with me?
Honestly, everybody has something, you know. Everybody's
got So there you go. There's first mistake.
There you go.
My vices are very innocent, I guess, in comparison to some people that I've seen. I love drinking beers, as Adam can also attest to. But my days of partying, of getting wasted, I've been over for a very long time. Like, I don't remember. Like, in college,
did that ever get into the audition world? Like, did you ever have to sit yourself down and say, dude, I need to, like,
stop on this? No, I've never had a problem. I would never say, like, I love a beer and I love going out and having a good time, but I've never, like, never gotten close to like seeing it as something that would get in the way of my life. Like even after a night of like going out hard, like I'm still in the gym at 6 a.m. Like it's never affected my life.
It's never interrupted your professional life.
No. Like, I mean, remember the gin bucket after Siegel? That was a day that, like, do you guys know what I don't know, but do you know what a gin bucket is?
A gin bucket?
Yeah.
No.
So to celebrate finishing the Seagull, which me and my classmates were working on for 6 months or longer, I don't know. We made a gym bucket, which is something me and my college buddies did, football guys. So I was like, oh, let's do a gym bucket with these theater. Let's see how this goes. So what you do is you get a big like mop bucket. It's got to be like 10 gallons or something. Fill it with ice, and then you pour two handles of gin into it, and then you top it off with like all sorts of different delicious citrus beverages and sodas and whatever. And then sit around in a circle, or you stand around in a circle around it, and you take a turkey baster, and you fill it up, and you drink it, and then you pass it to the next person. And so it's my fault. This is my idea.
It's my fault.
Every person in our class got blackout drunk that night.
Good.
It was a bunch of people peed on the wall. I definitely peed on the wall.
Turns into a fraternity, like, automatically.
It did. No, it did. 100%. I turned, like, all these Tennessee Williams-loving, upstanding citizens into football dudes.
Outstanding citizens.
But yeah, that's a stretch for some of them. But yeah. Yeah, anyway, okay, so that's number one. Don't get into, you know, hard drugs. Like, that's, there's a lot of friends, talented, you know, healthy people turn into fucking addicts. You know, I know it's a mental illness, but
yeah,
if you can at any point stop yourself from using that as your medication or your treatment, please do that. I think that's really important. I think that, or again, also drinking too much. Yeah, a lot of friends that were out here acting. Yeah. Aren't my friends anymore and aren't here acting anymore because that was the way they coped with the rejection or the loneliness or whatever, and cost them
coping, you know, mechanism.
Costing them their joy, costing them the opportunity to do this job, which is the coolest job. Like, I would never do another job. Like, I can't. It's the best. If you know you can get paid to sit around and play video games and get free food and then act, why the hell would you do that?
It's a little more than that, but I absolutely.
There are days when it is that. Yeah, I mean.
So, Joe, what do you want to do? What do you want to do going forward?
Do you want me to finish?
Sure. Don't kill yourself.
Well, definitely don't do that. Definitely seek mental help if you need it. I've been through a lot with different people who've suffered mental illness, so I'm very sensitive to that. And if you are feeling more than just lonely, please seek out help. Secondly, don't wait by the phone. Don't do it. Like, be active in yourself. Just be active in yourself. Like, don't wait for anything. Like, don't wait for the phone. Don't wait for your agent to start doing more. Like, there's always more you can do. Always more you can do. So, like, just know that. Always make it your priority. Always, like, no matter what else you got going on in your life, you should have a healthy balance of things. You know, acting is never the only thing, but it's always number one. It has to be, because there's too many other people that want to do it. That it is number one for. So I think if that is the way you are, you will have, you know, a successful, healthy career. Not to say like you're going to be Ryan Gosling, but I mean, dude, I don't care if anyone knows who I am. Like, I've gotten to have the best life ever thanks to being an actor. So it's worth it. Like you said, going into a room, you don't bring in your baggage. Take care of your stuff. Get yourself in a healthy routine so that when you do have those opportunities, you can show up. Oh, and also, say what you mean what you say, or shut up. That's a good one. That's a very important one.
I like that.
Yeah, I didn't think of it. That was our only rule for our scene study cut in class with Alan Langdon, who just retired. But I think future actors of the world are going to be missing out on some stuff with that guy.
Holy shit, Alan Langdon retired. Damn.
Yeah, he did.
So, Joe, moving forward, do you have any sort of, like, you know, in this sort of past or post-pandemic world and just how things have shifted so much, do you have any sort of new goals in terms of, like, your acting career or what you want to do or what comes next?
Dude, I am so energized to take things to the next level. Yeah, like I said before, I don't feel like I've done anything yet. And I did take some time off this summer to really fill my bucket. There's another important thing. Fill your bucket. Like, do the things that make you happy. Like, don't let yourself ever get to the bucket. If you feel yourself get below 25% full of joy, fill it up. Gotta fill that joy bucket. Cause my favorite band got back together this summer, and I like a romance, and I've toured the world to go to as many shows as I can. I went to Ireland. I went to the entire East Coast and Chicago to see them. I've seen them like 13 times this summer. It's artistically filled me. It's personally filled me. Like, I'm just like so stoked to go what's next. So yeah, next I gotta find a new agent. I'm excited to do that. I'm really, it's been fun to be, you know, not in that grind, because I was on that grind for 10 years of auditioning every day. And I just feel like excited and ready to get a new one and find that next opportunity. Like, I'm very blessed to be working consistently with Good Trouble right now, which will make finding a rep, you know, significantly better, because I'll be like, yeah, I'm already working. So I want to find someone who's going to.
Yeah, man. And so far, like from 2016 to 2000 now, to 2000 now, Jesus Christ, from 2016 to now, with a pandemic in the middle of it, with just how much you've booked, you know, looking for a new rep, you're in such a great place to do that. And like you said, I mean, you're back in LA right now because you are working. So
yes, yes. And My Chemical Romance is doing a 5-day residency at the Forum. And I'm here, so well, I guess I gotta go. So it's gonna be fun.
Oh, you poor bastard! Try to enjoy yourself.
I'll be all right, I think.
Well, so Joe, you got Good Trouble going on right now. You're back in LA filming that. Do you have anything else in the pipeline, or?
Well, that's the thing about not having a rep means you're not getting as many auditions, which is no. So I don't have any.
All right.
Which actually I'm very, very happy with. Like, because I get to put all my energy into working on this show, which again, totally. I'm stoked to be on. And after the new year, or maybe I have to wait till after pilot season, because I know most people don't take on new clients during that time. Let them cut a bunch of people that didn't get the job done. And then I'll be like, hey, guess what? Lucky day. And I'm going to really take my time and like find the right person that is on my wavelength. Like for all the great things about my last bit, we didn't handle things the same way. And I think that led to tension, whatever. Again, not saying a bad thing about it. It's just,
yeah, it happens, man.
You know? I want to find someone who is me. And they got to be out there.
Yeah, totally.
Well, man, I think you still have so much awesome things ahead of you, and I think you're in a really great and cool place to have what you've accomplished already. You're currently working on a show, and then to hopefully, and I know you will, find new reps where you can kind of be like, all right, this is, you know, minor leagues. Let's take it up a bit and like, let's really get this fucking going. And I think you're gonna have some really killer things come your way in the next few years.
You hit the nail on the head there, because that's the thing. Like in the last relationship with them, I was very like subservient, you know, like a beta, if you will, like, as you know, is not me, you know, like I'm not an asshole, but I'm also like, I know what I want, you know, sort of like to just be
Tommy. I don't know if you could tell that Joe Picchiero has a little bit of a alpha male vibe to him.
I got it.
But yeah, so I had to like suppress that, and that was
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So I can't have that again. Like I need someone who's like, who like I can like talk shit to, and they can take it. That's what I need.
Right. There you go. Just throw that out in the meeting, and just, you know.
Again, the way, like Adam said, like the way that I am right now with you guys is the way I am with literally everybody.
Right.
So
right.
Our meeting will be just like this.
Good. We'll just send them the interview. Thanks, Joe.
Joe, thank you so much for stopping by and chatting with us. It's been so good to talk with you after so long. Is there anywhere online that people can find you or stalk you? Are you doing that right now?
Just IMDb. I am completely off the source, which is another thing I recommend. Live your life. Live it in reality. You don't have to do it for anyone else. You know how many people have seen pictures of concerts I've been to? No one. And I don't give a fuck. Like, let them think I'm living, you know, let them think I'm having a horrible time. I don't care. Like, do not care what other people think. It's how they get you. And then they take all your information and the government has it and the corporations have it. Yeah, fuck them.
Right.
Fuck them.
Right.
Live for you.
Work. Well, if you want to find out about Joe, go to his IMDb and just type in his name and you can see what he's been doing and what he's got coming up. Joe, thank you so much, man. This was great.
Thanks, guys. Adios.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Thank you. He is he is such a one of a kind character, because he's this, like, when I first met him, right, he had like kind of just come out of college. He's this huge hulking football guy, but he's also this teddy bear, and he's also the biggest Lady Gaga fan in the world.
And My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, like, he's just like it's so many like contradictions, and you're like, I don't know anyone like you.
Yeah, it's like and a Lisa Frank funny, like, poster. It's like there's just everything's here.
Yeah, and it was like as the year would go on, we'd find out more about him, and you just go, you are so interesting.
You knit?
But huh. It's how I calm down. That's my post-gym thing. But it was funny. He was like the one guy in the class who we were like, you know, we know we're here, we're doing conservatory in New York City, which is kind of like the theater, you know, acting capital for the United States. But you just have something about you just kind of screams LA. Mm. And he was like, yeah, maybe, probably. So it never surprised me that he made the hop to LA. And I do remember the first, you know, few years, as it is for so many people, where you're just trying to find the ground, you know, to start walking. And mm-hmm. once he did, holy crap. Like, back when he used to be on Instagram and I would see stuff, I'm like, good for Joe. He really like hit the ground running. He knew what he wanted, and he wasn't one of those people to be like, I'm with these reps or whoever, it's not working, and I'm going to move on, and we're just going to start over again. And he got that, you know, those reps that really put him in the right rooms, and he, you know, he really got going. And so and now he's, to see how far he's
off to find some new reps. We wish him the best of luck. And thanks to you, Joe, for coming on. Everybody, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you again next week. You can find out more about Before the Break and how to become a working actor at workingactorpro.com. Follow us on Instagram at Before the Break Pod and Working Actor Pro. Follow us on Twitter at Before the Break Pod. That's the letter B, the number for the Break Pod. Check out Adam's stuff at adamdecarlo.com. Follow him at that Adam DeCarlo. And my stuff is tommybeardmore.com. You can follow me at I'm Tommy, by the way. Don't forget to hit subscribe, leave a rating, and write a review. If you like what you heard, check back next week for an all-new episode with an all-new guest, Adam.
That's it. See you next week.
Adios.
You've been listening to Before the Break. The hosts are Tommy Beardmore and Adam DeCarlo. Cover art by Amanda June Boucher. Music by Benjamin Sturley. Before the Break is recorded live from Los Angeles and New York City.